Good morning. Great to be with you today, and it's been a good day already. The best news about the day, in case you were worried, is that I know we're running late because of other things, but I don't have enough voice to be able to preach long anyway. So it's a great day all around, amen? All right. But I'm so glad to have you with us this morning, and to be able to worship together. And this morning, some of you may have looked at the screen already or looked in your bulletin to see the title of the sermon, A New Hope. And you immediately started thinking about something very different. Yes? I love the fact that Adam Simpson, you know, it is Casual Sunday today. But Adam Simpson was up here in the praise band wearing his Star Wars shirt. And I thought, how appropriate that is today. But, you know, a new hope that we find in the Star Wars, you know, is the hope that we want to talk about today is a hope that is much greater than any hope that Luke Skywalker or the Jedi Knight could have ever hoped to offer. And the hope that I want us to think about today is not founded in myths, legends, or even fantasy. The hope that we find in the Bible is real. Amen? It is eternal. And the best news is that this hope is offered to everyone that is here today. Now, before we read our passage this morning, I want us to take a moment and remember what's been going on with Jesus and his disciples in this place. We're in John chapter 14 this morning. We'll look at that in just a minute. But if you think back to the previous chapter in John chapter 13, just before Jesus spoke the words we're going to study today, he told his disciples that one of them would betray him. And we later know that is Judas Iscariot that betrays the Lord and Savior. Then, not long after that, he tells Peter, who says, Jesus, I would die for you. And Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, before morning comes, you're going to deny that you ever knew me three times. This is the mindset that Jesus is in when he's sharing these words in John 14. But if you go back just one more chapter to John chapter 12, you'll see that Jesus predicted his own death when talking to the people, and especially his disciples. In 12:27, he says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. He goes on in verse 32, he says, And when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And then John commentates here and he says that he said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. He was going to die a death lifted up on the cross, a death of humiliation. He had just shared this with his disciples, that he was going to die. He had just shared that one of them would betray them. He just shared that the leader would deny that they knew him. You know, I think Jesus realized at this moment in time that his disciples needed a word of hope. He knew where they were, what they've been walking through, the experiences that were going on, and what was about to happen. And Jesus knew that he needed to offer hope to them. And may I say, we here this morning need to hear words of hope as well. Many of us here today, and our souls are troubled. Some may find themselves afraid of what tomorrow might bring. Others may be overwhelmed by discouragement and despair. You know, some of you here today may be consumed with hate and consumed with distrust, hopeless in this life, and full of doubt. Some might not even see a way of escape from the pessimism that rules our life and the negativity that characterizes our life. I don't know if that's where you find yourself today, but I do want you to know that there is hope. Jesus Christ offered that hope. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to look at John chapter 14. We'll be reading the first 11 verses of this passage, and Lord willing, next week we'll hit the next few verses of this passage. But John chapter 14, I want us to begin reading in verse 1. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version of the Bible. If you don't have that and want to follow along on the screen, you're welcome to do so. The Bible says in verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may all be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the work themselves." This morning, I want us to think about a new hope that we find in Jesus Christ. And the first thing that I notice about this hope is that this is a hope for eternity. This isn't just hope in this life only. In fact, Paul addresses that in one of his letters. He says, if in this life only we have hope, then we are of all men, what does he say? Most miserable. You know, it's not just about hope in this life, because frankly, folks, the fact of the matter is that this life really does not offer much hope. And that's okay, because I'm not hoping in this life. My hope is for eternity. This life is filled with trouble. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples just two chapters back in chapter 12, 27? He said, "My spirit is troubled." His soul was troubled. Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect person, the only perfect person to ever live, said that this life brought his soul trouble. Folks, we can count on it bringing us trouble, because we bring trouble on ourselves, don't we? All the time. All day long, 7 days a week, we bring trouble on ourselves. And so Jesus recognized here, as I said earlier, that his disciples were anxious. They were stressed out about the things that were about to happen. So in that moment, Jesus said, "I want to offer you hope and hope for eternity." You know what, folks? The fear of the unknown can be crippling if we do not put our faith in God. There's no way for us to know what tomorrow holds. But as the old song says, we know who holds tomorrow. Fear of tomorrow and fear of the unknown paralyzes to the point where we just don't want to try anymore. But if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, we put our hope in God, then that hope that God provides to us can help us get through this life. This life is filled with trouble, but the life to come offers hope. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, then that hope is what sustains us. Jesus said in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you?" Folks, we have hope for eternity because of Jesus' promise to prepare a place for each one of us who places their trust in Jesus Christ. We have that hope of eternity. If you don't have this hope for eternity, then you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. He's the only one that offers hope. If you trust in Him, He promises you an eternal inheritance someday in heaven. That is a promise that He's going to keep. The first thing that we see in this passage is hope for eternity. The second thing that we see is a hope that Christ will return. If you look back at the verses in verses 3 and 4, it says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." You see, Jesus promises to go and prepare a place and then return to get us and take us, bring us to that place someday. And when we go with Him, we will live eternally with Him in heaven. Our hope is not only in the place that He is preparing for us, though. Our hope is also in the presence of Jesus Christ in that place. We're not hoping in heaven. Heaven's just a better place to live than the earth. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but God took 7 days to create the earth. And I believe that's true. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. God spoke and the earth became. He's been spending the last 6,000 years preparing a place. That's going to be awesome. Verse 5. In case you're wondering, if the Bible really does teach that Jesus is going to come back, in case you're concerned that that just sounds like a hoax, that sounds like a myth or whatever, I want you to realize that the New Testament alone, the 27 books in the New Testament alone, offer 318 either allusions to or direct references to the return of Jesus. 318 God talks about this. So folks, my point is this. If you believe God's word, you've got to believe that Jesus is coming. We can have hope in His return. The hope of Christ's return brings great comfort to a believer. I find great comfort in knowing that one day I will be able to go and see the loved ones that have gone on before me that trusted Jesus Christ. I find great solace in that. I look forward to that day when I get to see my family again in heaven. But the hope of Christ's return brings great joy and comfort to our lives. I was reading about a Puritan preacher named Henry Venn. And he was an old-time Puritan preacher. And his biographer wrote about his dying moments leading up to his death. And this is what his biographer wrote. He said, the prospect of dying made him, Henry Venn, made him so high-spirited and jubilant that his doctor said that his joy at dying kept him alive a further fortnight. Told you it was old. Now, how many of you know what a fortnight is? About a half dozen. He was so happy that he was about to die. He was so filled with joy at the prospect of getting to go be in heaven with his Savior that his doctor said he stayed alive an additional 2 weeks just because of the joy and exhilaration that was going on in his life, in his body. You know, Paul wrote about that in 1 Thessalonians. I want to take a moment to look at that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in the verse 13, Paul writes these words. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, referring to those who are dead, that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend. He will come down from heaven. He will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. And notice what he says in verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with the word. Encourage one another. Folks, the fact of Christ's return brings hope and comfort and encouragement to everyone who trusts in him. So I wonder, who do you know that needs these words of encouragement? We want to encourage people to know that in this life only, if we only have hope in this life, we're going to be miserable. Let's put our hope in. So we hope for eternity. We hope that Christ, our hope is that Christ will return. And the third thing that we see is that we hope in Christ alone. There is no one else that we find our hope in. Verse 5 and 6 make that absolutely clear. Thomas asked him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way to get there? Jesus responded to him and said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father unless they come through. There's only one way to have hope for you. Jesus is that way. Jesus is that truth. And Jesus is that life. No one goes to heaven. No one goes to God the Father unless they go through Jesus. You see the image on the screen. Brother David Watkins at church camp this past week made this comment. He said, there are only two belief systems in the world today. Do and done. Do and done. Now, when he said that, I was like, what in the world are you talking about, Brother David? Because I know that there are tribal animistic religions. There are Hindu, you know, you've got the Hindus. You've got the unreligious, which is a religion in itself. You've got Muslims. You've got Buddhists. You've got different forms of Christianity that are more religions than they are relationships. I said, what are you talking about, Brother David? And then he went on and explained. You see, in all those religions, whether we're talking about animism, Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, or even some forms of Christianity, so-called Christianity, in all of those, you find the necessity to do something. You got to do this to be saved. You got to do this in order to earn your way to heaven. Folks, that's not what my Bible teaches. My Bible teaches me that that process is done. There's nothing I have to do. It's already been done. Jesus Christ did it when he died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the grave. He finished the work that God brought him to the earth to complete. It is done. There's nothing more for me to do in order to have this hope. Jesus completed the work. Now he offers that free gift of salvation, that free gift of eternal life to each and every one of us, not as a means of earning our salvation, but rather as simply a free gift of God. So when it comes to salvation, there's nothing that you've got to do to earn it. All that needs to happen has already been done. Now all you have to do is simply believe in the one who completed that work, Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and no one goes to the Father unless they go through him. So will you this morning, if you've never done so, put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? We have hope in Christ alone. But last thing I want us to think about this morning is that we have hope in the promise of God. In verses 7 through 11, and I'm not going to read it again, Jesus talks about how that he and the Father are one. And if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. He is in the Father and the Father is in him. They are one. And you know, I think it's important for us to understand that God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son have been on the same page, so to speak, for all eternity. When God created mankind in the Garden of Eden, he was not surprised when man chose to sin. Jesus coming to earth to die on the cross was not a backup plan. Jesus knew from all eternity that Adam and Eve would sin, and that sin would necessitate a blood sacrifice, and that one day Jesus, his Son, would have to come and live on this earth a perfect life so that he could be the perfect atonement for that sin, the perfect payment for that sin. You see, Adam and Eve killed an animal when they sinned as a picture of what would happen to Jesus Christ. But that didn't cover their sins. Why? Because the animal was sinful, just as all creation is sinful after the fall. Once sin entered into this world, all things became sin. And that perfect sacrifice had to be offered. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we find God's promise to send his Son to be born of a virgin. And it says there, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So in Genesis 3, we see the necessity of sin. In Isaiah 7, we see the provision of sin. And in Genesis 12, God promised that through Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And then he gives that promise again to Abraham's son and Abraham's grandson. Over and over in the Old Testament, we find God promising to bless mankind with the perfect sacrifice for sin. Daniel chapter 7 even speaks about Christ's return to rapture his followers out of this world and to take them home and live with him eternally. Folks, the Old Testament is full of prophecies concerning the Messiah, the anointed one of God that would be given to take away the sins of the world. Literally hundreds of references directly point to a personal Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, the Son. And when God created mankind in the Garden of Eden, he knew that they would sin. God knew before he created us, and this is important, folks, God knew before he created us that we would sin against him and he would have to give up his son to pay the penalty for us. But that's how much he did. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 that God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We can have hope because of the promise of Scripture, promises of God we find in Scripture. We can have hope for eternity. We can have hope in Christ because of what God's Word says. This morning, my only question to you is this. Do you have this new hope? This nueva esperanza, right, Brother Alberto? A new hope in Christ. A hope not just for this life, but a hope for eternity. You don't know Jesus. Cannot experience hope. I ask you this morning, will you step say to me, I want to know that new Father in heaven, I do thank you for this time together. Lord, thank you for giving me the stamina to be able to speak this morning. And God, thank you for the message that you put in my heart. And God, I just believe with all my heart that there are people here today that do not know you. They have never trusted in you. And so, God, I just ask that you would please, as you said, that you would do. You would draw them unto yourself. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict them of their sin, and that they would come to a place today where they turn their life. Lord, I praise you for my salvation. Thank you for my salvation. What a blessing. What a tremendous change you've made in me. Father, I pray that for everyone.